I've got a short message here tonight, encouraging, I thought it was, and it's called, the title of it, for people who like to write these things down, it's called Information or Transformation. Information or Transformation. Alright? A question. What is our Christian experience about? Is it information or transformation? I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. A very common scripture that we know pretty well off by heart in this church. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. Paul, talking to Timothy. Timothy was his lieutenant. He's training him up, you see, and he's saying, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What for? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Alright, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get something out of this tonight, this scripture. Right? Thank you, Lord, for your word. And as you tell us, Lord, your word is like a light that shines in a dark spot, Lord. And we live in a very dark and wicked society, Lord, and not just society, but in a very dark and wicked Christendom, Lord. The church today is descending into total darkness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word as a light to guide us through this very, very critical and dangerous situation that's upon the world today, Lord, and upon the churches. So we pray, Lord, as we consider something out of this scripture tonight, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us, bless us, Lord, and help us, Lord, in our walk with you, that we will continue to walk strong with you, Lord, and not depart from the path before us, Lord, either to the right or the left, Lord, but to go straight ahead with you, Lord, and walk in your light and have fellowship with you, Lord. Bless the people for coming. Bless our ears and our hearts, Lord, as we consider this message tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, recently I read an article where someone commented. Listen to the comment. This is what inspired my message tonight. This bloke said this: the ultimate purpose of the Word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation. I'll quote it again, and listen. The ultimate purpose, this is what he said, the ultimate purpose of the Word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation. End of quote. This belief about the Word of God, which was always promoted in Pentecostal and charismatic churches during my experience with them, has now become more common and appealing in a growing number of supposedly fundamental churches, including our independent Baptist church movement. Interpreting and applying the scripture relevantly within our modern culture is important. All right? It is important. But the blanket statement that the purpose of the Word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation, should have been modified to say, it should have been said to say this: the Word of God is not only or not exclusively about theological information, but also about heart and life transformation. It's also about that. It's not exclusively about theological information. It is also, he was making a blanket statement that it's got nothing to do with theological information. And that would, what I've just said, to modify, would have made his quote acceptable. But I know where this bloke was coming from, and he was coming from the position that the word doesn't matter. It's how your life is affected by your religious experience. During our days in the AOG Pentecostal Church, whenever sound doctrine was defended, it was common to hear such statements as, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Have you ever heard that quote? It's scripture. It is scripture. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And that's quoting directly from 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. But its meaning gets twisted to promote the idea that we should be free to express our spiritual experience in any way we please, without being constrained by the Word of God. That's how they interpret that to mean. they'll let her kill him. The Word of God, if you've got doctrine and always preaching about doctrine, you can kill the movement of the Holy Spirit to allow you to express yourself freely, you know, like kick your legs in the air and fall on the floor and scream and laugh like a hyena, all that sort of thing, right? If you said something about that, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, you see. So, God wants us to enjoy our spirituality, so they say, and not have to be inhibited by conformity to His Word. We get inhibited by people who come in and preach doctrine, you see. You haven't got the freedom to do. So what about, we could have a rock and roll band here if we didn't go by doctrine, you see. Now, Rob Bell, you'll know Rob Bell? You know about Rob Bell? He's a very famous bloke. Don't hear much about him anymore because he shot himself in the foot that many times. But anyhow, back maybe 10 years ago, he was big in the Baptist movement in America. He wrote many books. And a lot of the emerging church young pastors took notice of what he said and taught. He said, Rob Bell said, we make ourselves irrelevant by appealing to 2,000-year-old dusty old books. We make ourselves irrelevant. He's a head pastor, mind you, big church, you know, like 10,000 people in his congregation. He taught, he wrote in this book, he said, we make ourselves irrelevant by appealing to 2,000-year-old dusty books. What are the 2,000-year-old dusty books that we appeal to, my friends? The Bible. He said, we make ourselves irrelevant today to the culture that is around us by appealing to the Scriptures. That's what he was saying. And he was, from memory, he was specifically talking about the argument about whether we should be accepting homosexual people into the congregation without them becoming Christians and changing their lifestyle and becoming involved in the ministry in the churches. And he was saying, well, you know, if you're going to appeal to those dusty old books like that, you'll have nobody in your church. We've got to get with the culture, you see. It is true that the Bible is not a book that is exclusively intended to give us information about God and His purposes. And it does give us teaching about emotional expressions that are important for Christians. And it is upon such teachings that we are able to build our lives that please and honour the Lord. However, such statements as the one we are considering ignore many verses in the Bible that address the very purpose of Scripture. For example, Paul tells Timothy in the Scripture we read tonight exactly what Scripture is, as well as what God intends for it to accomplish. In verse 13 of our opening Scripture tonight, we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God inspired the writer to record it in writing as Scripture, as doctrine. God intended that. He wrote that for our benefit as doctrine. Furthermore, in verses 14 and 15, it reveals that Scripture is intended to make us wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what Scripture does. All right? It's to make us wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, Scripture establishes and informs man of his lost condition due to his sin. The sound doctrine of Scripture informs and instructs man of the only solution for his lost condition, which is faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't read your Bible, you won't know about that. All right? In Romans 1:16, Paul recorded this doctrinal position. He said, he wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Along with many other scriptures, the doctrine of salvation is confirmed in Acts 4:12, where, speaking of the Lord Jesus, we read, Acts 4:12, you don't have to turn there, it's only one verse. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, if you don't read your Bible, you won't know that. Okay? You can't be saved any other way. All right? We must go by doctrine, not by our feelings. Amen? And I don't care. I've seen so many people that supposedly got saved and they knew they were saved because they felt good about it, you see. My heart tells me so. Your heart's wicked, deceitful above all things. How are you going to trust that? I used to ask them, they go, what are you? Some sort of Pharisee? See? Anyhow, apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, no one can be forgiven for their sins, let alone have a transformed heart and life, as the person who made the statement seems to have ignored. It is critical that we know and embrace who this person is, so that we can trust him and what he's done for us. We get that from hearing and believing the sound theological information of the gospel, not by some heart and life transformation. Right? I don't care how good a person looks in church, if they haven't believed the gospel, they're not saved. They can live a holy life, a holy looking life, but they're not saved. Alright? Heart and life transformation must come, but as a result of taking heed to the theological information in the Word of God. Scripture tells Christians that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Alright? That's what we're supposed to do in 2 Peter 3:18. Peter is not speaking to the unsaved, but to believers. Whatever heart and life transformation might come to the unsaved without Bible doctrine is not biblical salvation. We don't change our life to get saved. We get saved and we change our life. Alright? All the transformation and the wonderful things that God blesses us with comes after our salvation, not before it. And we need to be careful about that. Some people say, oh, you need to, like, what's his name, the footy player was saying, Israel Palau, you need to stop being a homosexual and get and please God, you see. You don't give up sin to please God. You get saved to please God. Amen? Amen. Then you give up your sin. Returning to Paul's comments to Timothy, God's word in its entirety shows Christians how we are to live in accordance with God's requirements. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. What's reproof? Hey, get roused on if you're doing something wrong. For correction, it guides us and leads us in the right way to walk. For instruction in righteousness, what's right and what's wrong? Well, it might be your opinion what's righteous and what isn't. No, the Word of God tells us what's righteous and what's not. Okay? Instruction in righteousness. What for? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We do our good works after we get saved. We are saved unto good works. We are not saved by good works. Scripture is a thing that is profitable to accomplish what is necessary for a man or a woman of God to grow in maturity. Scripture is the thing that is profitable for that. This is theology at basic elementary level. Doctrine, as it is revealed in Scripture, is the bedrock of our lives. Thus, because of the theological information revealed in Scripture, the Bible can and does change us internally and externally in thought and action, and it should produce heart and life transformation. Amen? If you see a person who's still getting drunk, smoking cigarettes, chasing ladies up the street, 2 years after he's supposed to have got saved, you know there's something not right there. Something didn't happen. He might have heard the gospel, but he didn't believe it, and he didn't obey it. He might have even believed it, but he didn't obey it, you see. He couldn't take it. He's like the man that, the seed that fell on the rocks, you know, and a little bit of soil grew up for a while, and when the sun came out, it fell over. Oh, how come? When the cares of the world came, it fell over. It heard it. Heard the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It heard it. Didn't accept it, you see. Didn't believe it properly. Anyhow, statements like the ultimate purpose, statements like this statement that we're considering tonight, the ultimate purpose of the word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation, are man-centered. And illustrates so much of what has caused the corruption and collapse of much of the professing church over the past 50 years. It makes the Bible appear to be little more than a self-help manual, designed exclusively for the happiness and prosperity of man, as it elevates practice above theology. Man has become the focal point rather than God. And we saw heaps of that. Now, as I said, I'm going on 40 years as a Christian. I've seen a lot of things go on in that, because I walked through that stuff, you see. God brought me all through that stuff, and I've seen, this is going downhill fast, man. This is, the boat's got leaks in it everywhere, and you need to get off it and get away from here. Get on the lifeboat and row for your life. This thing is going downhill quick. the supposed church, the professing church of the world. For many churches now, embracing and implementing theologically sound doctrine into the people's daily lives is no longer important. In some cases, it's not even a necessary requirement for someone to become a member of a church or to serve as one of the church leaders. So long as that person exhibits excitement about their experience as a professing Christian, that is all that matters, so they say, not their understanding and adherence to the Word of God. Just so long as you fit in and you're a nice person and you agree with the pastors and do everything right in the church, you can do what you like. You can believe what you like, most of them. Christianity is now mainly about man and what God may do to please us, to make us happy and content in this present world, this present evil world. Consequently, the church in Western society has become effeminate and weak, and the social gospel has become the domineering factor in once strong fundamental churches. According to the Word of God, in tonight's opening scripture, I'm going to close with this, of 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, though, the more we study and understand and put in practice theological information, the more we will experience genuine biblical heart and life transformation. According to 2 Peter 1:3, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge, not through experience. All right? It's through the knowledge of the Word of God, not by how we got this great feeling when we went to some church service and they were playing rock music, which made our hair stand on end or something. Right? That's got nothing to do with it. So, information leads to transformation, not the other way around.